We're learning about global trade today, and one of the first lessons is from China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. We're going to get import and export numbers out of Washington today. That'll give us an idea of how the U.S. is faring in the global marketplace. But in China, we found out today exports reached a new high in November. Sounds like good news, right? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports it may be too much of a good thing.
China's exports are up a third over last year. Imports, even more. But don't celebrate yet, Beijing.
This certainly will add a lot of pressure for China to allow its currency to appreciate faster.
Economist Liu Ligong says from now on, news of good times in China will produce an international response, sort of like, we're happy you're doing so well, but there's this currency thing. U.S. lawmakers would like China to hurry up the appreciation of its currency because they say cheap Chinese exports have taken away American jobs. Economist Liu says allowing China's currency to appreciate would be good for China, too. Making the renminbi worth more may turn more Chinese into consumers, which would help balance an economy that's weighed heavily towards exports and investment. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher at the moment, yet Asian stocks ended the day down. Things are slow. Investors aren't making a lot of big trades until after the holidays. They're also thinking about Chinese inflation. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ added more than 0.25%, but the Dow ended down 2 points to close at 11,370. Congress passed financial reform last summer with the intent of regulating banks. One of the big selling points was a consumer financial watchdog. Well, that watchdog was Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren's idea. Warren was reportedly President Obama's choice to head the bureau. But some members of Congress, and to be sure, banks, objected, saying she would come down too hard on financial institutions. So the president instead tapped her to help set up the bureau. And Professor Warren is with us from Washington this morning. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, boy, it's a long title, was passed back in the summer. How would you say the implementation's going?
We're getting started, starting to build all the pieces. It feels a little like building an airplane, you know, lots of complicated parts to it, but lots of possibility if we get it put together the right way.
What will be the first thing, do you think, consumers will notice as a result of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
Oh, I think they should already be starting to notice. We've identified our priorities as making the price of credit clear, as making the risks associated with the credit clear, and making it easy to compare one product to another. And I think what we're starting to see is some number of lenders who are starting to change their products because I think they realize that's what American families want.
Would you, do you think, had more authority to set things up had you been named the official, the full-on head of this bureau?
You know, there were always two jobs on the table. One was to be nominated to be the head, which would mean hearings and back and forth and probably something going on by sometime early next year. Or the president said in the alternative, there's a job getting started right now to get this agency going. And I said what I'd really like to do is start making it go right now. And I haven't regretted the decision at all.
What do you tell people who say government shouldn't have its hands in this at all?
In that case, you end up in a world where people who want to offer good products can't do it because they're having to compete with those who are willing to offer products loaded with tricks and traps. That's a market that doesn't work. And the job of the government, the job of the cop on the beat is to say, hey, look, everybody's got to be willing to tell up front what the real cost is. That's what causes markets to be competitive. That's what causes them to work on behalf of middle-class families.
Professor Elizabeth Warren from Washington, D.C. Professor, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
It's the final day of the United Nations climate change talks in Cancun, Mexico. A whole lot wasn't expected from that summit. So did it deliver anything? Marketplace's Eve Tro is there in the home stretch to give us a wrap-up. Hi, Eve.
Hi.
So will there be some sort of surprise deal out of Cancun?
Last we heard, there are some areas where everyone's ready to move forward, but there are sticking points that are blocking any major progress, or even really any minor progress. Elliot Derringer is here in Cancun with the Pew Center on Global Climate Change, and he put it like this.
We have the makings of a deal, but time is running very short, and parties need to start moving from their hardline positions if within 24 hours we are going to have a deal.
All right, hardline positions. Who are the big players there, Eve?
There are sort of two big stories going with big players. More wealthy countries want every nation to sacrifice equally to slow climate change, but that's very different from the story that's embedded in UN climate law, which says industrial countries cause climate change, so they should pay first and pay more to fix it. A couple specific things to watch. The U.S. doesn't think it's fair for it to give money for climate change. If the countries that get that money, especially China, don't have to verify their progress, Japan doesn't think it's fair to lower its emissions by law if major polluters like the U.S. and China don't have to do that. So something will be signed in Cancun, Steve, but if it's not significant, then the UN process for climate change loses a lot of legitimacy.
All right. Marketplace's Eve Tro in Cancun. Eve, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, in case the kids get restless and don't have access to Madden football or Grand Theft Auto, the European Central Bank recommends another game they can play on the computer. Economia lets players decide what the appropriate interest rate is for three-month periods. They'll work with crafty central bank governors and advisors and look at economic indicators that are rad. You can check out our website, marketplace.org, for a link to those European games. And while you're there, check out our own Marketplace game of money, management, and fun, Budget Hero. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Iowa lawmakers are debating a cut in funding for sabbaticals to help balance the state budget. It may be a win for the Hawkeye State, but will the universities be the losers?
The first sabbatical that I took in Switzerland probably led directly to what's now, you know, over $100 million in research funding.
I'm Tess Vigeland, putting a dollar value on the sabbatical next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.